Keep your family safe by disposing of unused opioids. That's the message from the Pennyroyal Center's Remove the Risk program, which urges people to keep opioids out of the reach of children and to never share pain medication with others. If you have unused opioids that are no longer needed, find an authorized disposal center by visiting fda.gov/drug disposal.
Welcome to another Crittenden Press podcast. We appreciate Mr. Clark, Vince Clark, the superintendent of Crittenden County Schools, being with us. And we're going to have a series of three podcasts over the next few days that we're going to release. We're recording them here in his office on campus. And we appreciate his time, and it has so much valuable information. Our schools are such a central part of our community. And we appreciate the job they've done this year keeping our students in school. And we're going to talk about the end of the year. We're going to talk about new legislation, which includes a do-over year, and explain what that is. We're going to talk to you about some staffing and position issues. And we'll get into the Rocket Foundation. We'll let you know how you can help out your Crittenden County School District, whether that be by your labors or by your pocketbook. They're looking for all sorts of help. And it's got to be a community effort to educate our children. It takes a village, as they say. We would like to thank the Pennyroyal Center for sponsoring these podcasts that we're putting out, and their Protect Children, Remove the Risk program. And we'll have some more information about that as well during these podcasts. Mr. Clark, we're gonna begin by talking about your end of the year calendar. And I know people are just really excited about having graduation and prom.
Yeah, I know those are the two big things that's on people's mind. And you know, we're like everybody else. We want to honor these kids the best that we can under the conditions that we're in. And we're awful proud of these seniors and the contributions that they've made to our school district and our community. They've represented us so well. It's been an outstanding year, you know, given the considerations that we've operated in a pandemic. But we do plan on having an outside graduation on Friday, May the 28th. Yeah, Friday, May the 28th. It'll be on the football field. And even though there will be some restrictions to that, we'll be able to invite more guests to that event. Maybe somewhere around 1,000 folks limit that can attend that.
Let me interrupt you just a moment. How many people typically would attend a graduation in a non-pandemic situation?
You know, we've never counted folks because we've never had to, you know, because we've always been in Rocket Arena. But we know Rocket Arena has been
packed.
Yes. And then people standing all around the track. So, you know, I would say, you know, most years, I would say somewhere 1,200, 1,500 people, yeah. Probably wouldn't be afraid to say at least 1,500 people, you know, year in, year out, have attended those in Rocket Arena.
So there will be some folks who are not able to attend this.
We're going, but not too many. And we're going to try, you know, to accommodate as many people as we can. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be some families that maybe, there'll be some graduates that maybe don't need the full, you know, 8 or 10 tickets. Mm-hmm. And then we can divvy those out to others that may need more than 8 or 10 guests to come. So we're going to work with folks the best we can. I think the other big event is the May 1st prom that the high school is planning. And I know I appreciate their willingness to do that for our kids because it's tricky. You know, it's really hard to have a prom. But there's, you know, if kids mask up, we're going to be able to create this event for them. It'll also be an outside event.
No kissing on the dance floor?
No, sir. No. That's not encouraged or recommended. You know, we'll be able to do that. And then if we do have, like, a surge, you know, from one thing or another, we might be able to, we'll have time for that to clear out for graduation. And then the other end-of-year activities, we're going to be very careful about you know, the in-person that we have. We may be able to do some in-person with students recognitions, like 8th grade recognition could be in-person, but we'll stream it live so that parents and grandparents and family members can watch it as well. And then other things may be just done virtually.
Typically, you would have a baccalaureate and maybe a class night or the recognition awards night. How about those things? What are you thinking on those?
Yeah, we're thinking that we won't have those this year, you know, especially those are done the day or the 2 days before graduation, which we're trying to protect the graduation event. Mm-hmm. So that if there is, you know, some type of outbreak or something, we don't want to have to cancel or postpone the graduation. So we will not be having those two events.
So even though these cases are dropping and the incidence rate in the state of Kentucky is just nowhere near it has been over the winter, I think we're down below 3% now. Maybe even
we've been under 4 or statewide positivity. It's been under 4 for quite a while, which is a good sign.
I can't remember the exact number I saw last night, but it was strikingly low.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still an opportunity for this thing to grab a hold of you. As you've seen, as we're talking today, you've had to shut down in-person classes over at the middle school just because of a small outbreak. But you get ahead of this and then you don't get behind it, right?
Right. Yeah, that's correct. That's what we're thinking. Of course, you know, it's day to day, you know, and we continue to monitor, evaluate what's best for students and staff. And, you know, we had a number of staff that have tested positive at the middle school this week. And then we had a student also test positive yesterday. And that's when we decided, well, it would be best, you know, to go ahead and just go all remote at the middle school. We're still in person. Our learning plans at the elementary and high school are carrying forward, but we've had to go remote in those buildings as well from time to time. So even though numbers are improving, it's still here, it's still present. We're still kind of held captive and hostage to it and the impact of that. And we continue to try to protect our students and staff the best we can, you know, with mitigation strategies, masking, the social distancing, washing hands, and just being careful about our day-to-day activities.
And it's never going away. We know that. So we're trying to find, I guess, that line in the sand where we'll live with it and try to get back to
I've heard it described as, you know, there's been life before COVID and then there'll be life after COVID for quite a while. And we, you know, we all strive to be back to normal. And that's why, you know, our folks have worked hard to have a in-person graduation event, an in-person prom event. Folks have worked hard so that our athletics have been able to compete this year. You know, I'm very happy to say, you know, baseball and softball and track have been able to practice and compete already this season, which was very important to us, especially after this time last year, those kids not getting to participate in spring sports. So very happy to report that today.
Well, we've talked a great deal here about the calendar as we're going to see it in the rest of this pandemic year through the end of May, and kind of as you phase out this very unique year. But then also your 2022 calendar is something you're already preparing for. And what is it going to look like?
We are, and our board did approve, you know, both calendars, our end-of-year calendar for this year, which is students' last day, will be May the 27th, with graduation being May the 28th. And then for August, students' first day coming back will be August the 24th.
So a little later.
It is a little later, and the board did earlier on did approve two calendars. Mm-hmm. One was with an earlier start, which I'm more of a fan of, and then they approved one that is a later start. And we were just kind of waiting to see how this COVID thing evolved. And, you know, we started later this year. You know, back in August, we had planned on starting on August the 12th and moved it to August the 25th. And there's some advantages to that with flexibility, with what the legislators had passed the previous session with. You remember the boat dock calendar? Mm-hmm. So we were able to fall under that and count staff time with student time. So it did give us some flexibility in that, which allows us this year to our teacher closing day will be June the 1st. instead of, I think it was June the 4th originally. But students will come back to us in August. Right now, we plan on receiving them back on August the 24th. It is a later start. We still will have fall break. We'll have a good, I think it's a two-week winter break. We'll still protect spring break. Those are in the calendars as well. And we'll front load some teacher planning days, you know, before the 24th, so teachers can come in and work and get professional development before they receive kids on the 24th.
I know it's early to even begin speculating what the next school year will look like, but do you have any idea? I mean, are these kids, are you still going to be offering the virtual opportunity? Will they have that choice? And then will they still be masked? Do you think there will still be a distance requirement? Which the distance requirement is now cut in half. Instead of 6 feet, it's 3 feet, which is, I'm sure, allowing you to put some more children in classrooms. But do you have any idea what this might look like?
Well, I don't think any of us really do, because when we what this year's taught us is when we think we've got it figured out, we get another curveball. But here's what we're preparing for. Mm-hmm. We're hopeful. I mean, I really do. I don't think we're going to show up on August 24th and say, well, COVID's not here anymore. And with the CDC guidelines, the most recent guidelines, which is reflected in KDE's guidance as well, where we are able to move from 6 feet of social distancing to even down to 3 feet. We'd already planned on doing some of that. And I know the elementary school is doing some of that right now, gradually. And we plan to come back from spring break and be able to add maybe two or three more students to our existing classrooms that have 18 or 19 in them now. And we'll move, you know, to 22 or so to those classes. So those 6 feet, you know, will become 5 feet and 4 feet. Because our virtual learners are coming back to us.
Can you quantify that at all? Do you know how many you're starting to see come back now?
Oh, well, we've been receiving them back for quite some time. And it, you know, originally it was at the grade breaks, you know, the 9 week right. break. And then as we've got into, the spring semester and we've evaluated grades, you know, where kids are, we've encouraged several kids to come back to in-person learning because that's what's best for learning. And we've made room for them. We've even had to create like, classrooms that are virtual, but they are in the school. And it's just, you know, it's a win for us just to have the kids in the school. And so, then as those spaces became available in their cohorts, then we would add those kids back to those classrooms. But, you know, just for example, we have one classroom at the elementary school that had, you know, third graders, fourth graders, and fifth graders that were virtual learners that come back to school. And then we've been putting them back into their third grade cohort, their fourth grade cohort, and this week, fifth grade cohort, as we could accommodate them. We have been holding tight to the 6 feet distancing rule. However, now we're having a little more flexibility with that. So we wanted to do this right before spring break, kind of gradually put more kids in there, evaluate it, see how it's working. You know, right now it's pretty good, you know, and so we hope to come back from spring break and to be able to do more of that, which gives us flexibility with those teachers. But I know we were talking about the end of year calendar, and you were talking about like mask. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I suspect that mask will be part of our school year moving forward in August, and then we'll continue to evaluate that. I don't know that at this point for a fact, but I would suspect that masks will be part of our kind of our daily operations. What were some of the other questions you asked?
But I think that kind of covers just what you feel like this could look like, and I think you've answered that. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to end our first podcast in this series. We will have three podcasts, this being the first, and we will release these over the next few days. And if you're interested, you need to check back in, because the next podcast, we're going to talk about some very hot button items. I think the legislation, the do-over, so you've got kids that are going to be able to take their junior year or senior year over again, and the implications that will have for you in the classroom and on the athletic fields as well. And we're going to talk about that and the tax credits and how that might affect public schools, plus some other legislation that we've just seen come out of Frankfort, as well as a number of other things about the new construction. Hey, we're looking at a new high school. So, Mr. Clark, we'll be excited to hear what you have to say on our next podcast. So if you've enjoyed this one, come back and check us out on phase two of our three-part series. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Keep your family safe by disposing of unused opioids. That's the message from the Pennyroyal Center's Remove the Risk program, which urges people to keep opioids out of the reach of children and to never share pain medication with others. If you have unused opioids that are no longer needed, find an authorized disposal center by visiting fda.gov/drugdisposal.